Gwen, let me unmute you.
Hey, is that better?
There you go.
That's
Yes.
funny because I could hear me. What was wrong with you guys?
Yeah.
I'm Gwen. I'm a compulsive overeater. I've been in the OA program for since 2016, and I started out in one of the other fellowships, and I really thought I had it all together. Because I was like a rock star in those other programs, and for some reason, I didn't notice that the food had taken over. And I was kind of dismayed about that. But, I was just so happy that I had recovery in the, from other substances. I didn't notice that I was putting on weight, and eating. And, you would go out and like celebrate with other people, and everybody was eating too. So we were all in it together. Some people would just, I noticed in the other fellowships, there's lots of people who are overweight. And they don't know how to stop, but they don't know it's a problem either. And I gotten to the point where, okay, this is going to sound weird, but I don't care because this disease attacks you in weird ways. I started just crying because one day I got up and said, I need to buy some bigger underwear. Bigger underwear had me in tears. And I didn't know how to handle it. And I, through working the steps in the other programs, I've heard it said a lot, your credits don't transfer. I want to know where in the big book does it say that we get credits? It doesn't say anywhere in the big book that we get credits. So your experience transfers everywhere. Whatever experience you have, no matter what program that you came from, if you came from another one before you came to OA, that's bullshit. Your experience helps you with food, but trying to figure out how to make the program work around food when you have to like forget about because you have to eat. The other programs, they say you never have to touch these things again. So at all costs, that's all you have to do is not touch them. Well, you have to eat at all costs. No matter what, with food, you have to touch it over and over and over again. So it's a different animal that we have to deal with the food. And I'm still trying to, figure it out. And it's not a fact of figuring out how to manage the food so much as to how to connect to that power. Because the big book says, the purpose of the book, period, is to enable us to find that power that'll help with our problem. It doesn't even say what the problem is. You just assume that the problem is the food or the booze or the gambling or whatever your problem is, because the 12-step program is mushroomed into how many programs? I don't know, over 200, maybe more, I'm not sure. But the big book has been translated into 71 languages and it's worldwide. I even went through the World Service Office and I ordered a pamphlet from there, which was it's printed in Inuit. Inuit is like a Native American Eskimo language, and there's one that's in like a picture form. So that if you can't read, you can understand the 12 steps by looking at the pictures. It's really eye-opening to look at this little pamphlet of the 12 steps in picture form. And that's really nice and simple because I like simple stuff. Because I know I can make anything more complicated. And anything that I can do to uncomplicate things is a good thing. When I got a food plan and started working the steps with the sponsor the first time, I went through it really fast. Probably, I don't know, maybe 2 months that we went through the big book, and I had about 18 months of abstinence. I got busy in my other fellowship, and I had unequal time in my fellowships, and OA got the less amount of Attention. So, of course, my program in OA suffered. And I spent 5 years trying to get abstinent again. I had found a treatment center in Minnesota. I live in Minnesota. There's a food recovery program in Minnesota. That's 1.5 hours away from my house. How lucky am I for that? And I've been to that treatment place a couple of times. The first year that I went to it, we had recently had like a major fire on our farm where a machine shed burned down with everything in it. And how horrible. But the silver lining of that was it gave me money to take care of myself. I went to that rec food recovery program 3 times in that 1 year. And I managed to be abstinent from flour and sugar that 1 year, but I could not control the volume. I still couldn't control the volume. And I did whatever I could. I think I got, yeah, I needed to get another sponsor because of course when you relapse, you have to go get another sponsor. Which, I never heard that in the other fellowships because when you relapse, that's when you and your sponsor work together harder. But I don't know the reason why you have to get another sponsor when you relapse here because that doesn't make sense. I finally got a sponsor through that food recovery program. That she said, as long as you stay connected with me and we talk at least once a week, I will not drop you. And I had been dropped by so many sponsors because, you have this. Well, here's where they come up with this: you have to be abstinent for 2 days in order to start working the steps. 2 days is an eternity because you have to be eating those entire 2 days. Well, in the big book, so and so was dry for 2 days. He was dry from alcohol. He did not stop eating. He was eating the whole time he was in the hospital, if he could. As a matter of fact, when Bill Wilson approached Dr. Bob, he had been maybe sober for a day. So this 2 day thing where you have to be absent for 2 days is throw it out the window because that's not how the big book teaches it. So, and people have grabbed onto that and said, oh, it's got to be 2 days. No, it doesn't have to be 2 days. It could be the minute you are ready to start working on it because being abstinent from flour and sugar and whatever other behaviors and food is like a whole multi-armed like an octopus that's got a hold of you. If you've got 5 minutes where you okay, I haven't had any of those behaviors, that's your window. Your window is that small. And not only that, Dr. Bob talked about a flimsy reed and a lot of a lot of people equate that to a flimsy reed of who's pulling the show here. Like God is there on that flimsy reed. Well, I think that flimsy reed is the multiple little teeny tiny decisions we got to make every day. Because I'm faced with right now, what do I have for breakfast? I can go and have my abstinent meal. Or I could say, ah, oh, I don't need to do that. And there's that teeny little flimsy reed right there. So multiply that by 100 decisions that you make in a day over around food or around things that might trigger you to go and, feel like you need it. Flimsy reed is just the decisions that we make throughout the day that either help us along the way or hinder us along the way. One of the things that I found in my recovery is that honesty has been, well, honesty, if you can't be 100% honest, you're not honest at all. It has to be 100% because when somebody say, hey, can you go and do this or do that? Ah, you think, oh, I don't want to. Okay, I'll go do it. But deep down, you really don't want to do it. And that negates the willingness. If you're not 100% honest, it won't work. So if you think, oh, I don't want to do this, say it out loud. I don't want to do this, because you're being honest. God will honor that. I know I've had lots of times where, like I'm just going to take service, for instance, because in the other fellowship, people would ask, will you serve, do service? I would do service all over the place. It kept me busy. It kept me from picking up, but it also kept me from away from connecting with other people. I kind of placed myself in the service. I don't know what the word is. I looked like I was doing well, but the inside work wasn't getting done. I was using service as a reason to not work on the steps. And working on the steps is paramount, because if you can't understand why you need them, maybe here's one thing that I have found, step 11, that a couple of years ago, I said, I need to find how is this God? How am I going to make this God work? Because I had such great sobriety that I thought God was working for me, and that concept of God, it worked for until it didn't. I could not get my concept of God to work with food. And my concept of God was what I grew up with. My childhood teachings and all that. And it turns out that that wasn't helping me, because that God of my understanding, I was really actually afraid of that God. And I was afraid of getting things wrong. I was afraid I wasn't good enough. I was afraid that people didn't like me. I was afraid that just out fear. That my concept of God from growing up was fear. So I couldn't find abstinence well or turn my will, my life over to a God that I feared. And I had to step away from my concept of God that I grew up with. And that was a scary thing to do, because I thought, oh, is God gonna smote me? Am I gonna get like beaten into the ground, or is something gonna happen? Because that's what I learned, is that you must follow this. This is who you are. This is who your family is. This is who you have to be. I didn't want to do that anymore, because I kept relapsing. I said, my concept of God that I have been given by my ancestors, because they passed it down one after the other after the other, and who knows how far back my ancestry has the same concept. Hundreds of years, probably. Well, I said, this isn't working for me, and I have to step away. And I was scared to death to do it, because I thought my family would ostracize me. I thought they were gonna, get angry at me. I thought of my mom telling me, oh, that's not who we are. You can't do that. But it was either that or die of overeating. And when Bill Wilson was trying to find his concept of God, he was actually an atheist, because, and why was he an atheist? I don't remember. But Dr. Bob, he had been like baked into the religious life when he grew up. And when he I was reading that in the Dr. Bob and the Good Old Timers, he says when he was out of the clutches of parental control, he never set foot in a church again. So they were both had turned their backs on their childhood understanding of who God was. And I think that really helped them in finding God of their own understanding. It was as they set aside the things that they had grown up with, and they looked for God that was personal to them, not one that had been passed down to them like a hand-me-down. A hand-me-down God. I've never heard that before, but now I'm saying a hand-me-down. So I went out looking for this personal relationship with God. I didn't know where to look, but I started out with a 12-month workshop of working the steps, 12 months of doing all 12 steps. And it was a phenomenal, I mean, if you look at doing a 12-step workshop, and a lot of them are like, oh, it's a weekend or it's 2 weekends, that ain't shit. I'm telling you. If you go to a meeting every week, there is no difference than going to a meeting every week or going to a big book workshop that happens every week. And I got to be part of a fellowship of all these people that we're all doing the steps at the same time and all sharing at the same time. And we learn from each other. And oh my gosh, if you have an opportunity to go to be part of a 12-step workshop that lasts that long, oh, take it. Take it. And invite your friends. I got so much out of that that I went on and I did a second workshop with another gal who did the same teaching for 12 whole months, and that one I did for a year and 6 months. I did that one with her, and I've had such a phenomenal spiritual awakening because of that. I got to know a couple of gals that we formed a study group because they promote doing a study group with, a maximum of 6 people. We're all working on the same steps all at the same time, supporting each other, helping each other, learning from each other. And it's been just so awesome. If anybody wants to know about that, you could ask me and I'll put my phone number in the chat too. But one of the best things I got out of that was I got to listen to people from other fellowships, not just OA, talk about their experience with finding their higher power. And that opened up so many new possibilities. And the concept of God I had really expanded out of that. And I looked into some other spiritual leaders because when I looked up the word spiritual, oh, I don't remember what it was, but the definition was listening to a spiritual leader. It didn't say anything about listening to a preacher or a priest or any spiritual leader. It doesn't have to be one in a church. It can be one in another faith or one in another spiritual avenue. And I found
2 minutes, Gwen.
how many?
2 minutes.
Oh, okay. And that's been the biggest thing is that my journey of to finding God, and I have connected to him. I've gotten so many miracles that I found that it's too hard to even explain because God comes to me not in big, giant pieces, but he comes to me in little teeny tiny things that happen every day along the way. And I see signs of God working not on my behalf, but like confirmation that I'm going in the right direction. And when I see those signs, I mean, they only really mean something to me because of the connection I have with him. I do a daily 2-way prayer practice, and my practice is really simple. I write a letter to God, and then I write what I think he would say back to me. And I've been doing that for, oh, I don't know, well, it's about 10 months. 10 months, and I've had such beautiful letters from him. One of the things that I really had to understand is that what I couldn't get a hold of this program was I didn't know who I was because I always thought I wasn't good enough. I was never gonna understand it. But I had to learn what God says about me. So I spent time with it, even with my childhood religion, what did God say about me? And the things that he said about me were always loving and always caring and always supportive. And once I understood how he felt about me, then I knew that he wanted to connect with me, Not the fake me that I could be to other people, but the authentic real me. Even the one that was scared, even the one that didn't know what to do. That's the one he wanted to connect with, because that's the
Gentle
one he does connect with.
reminder, Gwen, your time.
Hey, there's the reminder. I'm okay. That's it. I'll pass. Thanks for letting me share today.